very fucking unprofessional.
Unprofessional as Fuck Podcast.
Made our bed, now it's time, you know what I mean? Deal with the consequences. This is without a shadow of a doubt, the talking to town, what your town's talking about. Unprofessional as fuck with your host Ruck, and this is Sports Show number 21. God forgive me if the energy's a little low right now, man. Getting back from a great weekend out with the family. Went out and did the whole Sacramento trip for these last two Kings games of our, you know, ticket plan in the season. With that being said, as far as the regular season is concerned, that being said, the way that we kind of just bowed out towards the end of the season set the tone.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game. Another game.
It's kind of where we are with it right now, man. But hey, all in all, it's going to be a little different sports show this time. I mean, I'm looking back and realizing it's been a minute since I dropped one. When I go to the notes for this specific show, there's shit from all over the place. Going to touch on some of those things, some of those things that still remain relevant today. But we're going to work, you know, from the future back. When I say the future is because now the tone has been set. Somehow this Sacramento Kings team that had an opportunity to end in a situation where you weren't even involved in the play-in scenario is now not only involved in the play-in scenario, but has fallen so far that we are now in the 9th and 10th seed position game, which means this is play-in or you know, win or go home. Oh, man. Not only is it a win or go home situation, but this is now again against those same guys who removed us from playoff contention last season in a very entertaining and competitive 7-game series. I'm talking about those Golden State Warriors, man. Let's get into it. Here we are. Not many notes here, man. I just kind of want to talk about the Kings season in general. You know what I mean? In totality, I want to say that this was a great season for me and the fam. You know, when we went out and purchased this ticket plan, we didn't, you know, have any idea of just how fun the shit was going to be. But all in all, I want to clap it up just for the whole Sacramento area, man, for how they conduct business, not only at the Golden One Center, but just as a whole, man. It's a really smooth, dope process, and I look forward to not only, you know, partaking in the same type of thing next season, but up in the ante, you know what I mean? Let's go 20 games. Maybe, you know, a full. We'll check it out. We'll see what happens. But, hey, all in all, if I have to look back at everything in totality, I mean, we've had a great time every time we went out, whether that was us in the blowout win like we've seen today, which we'll get to later, or in those less, you know, fortunate circumstances where we were the team that maybe got manhandled per se, you know, in certain games. It is what it is, man. But all in all, you know, 82 game season, and now, you know, it's all coming down to this final game Tuesday. Well, it could be a final game. I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm already putting the nail in our coffin. I'm just saying that the way that we've kind of backed into this situation versus the kind of basketball that Golden State has been playing to make sure that they at least had an opportunity to prolong theirs, it's going to really come down to Tuesday. We shall see which team steps on the court and who's able to, you know, finally get over that hump with two struggling teams from Northern California as of, I mean, the recent history. When I say recent history, I mean just, you know, this season's been up and down for both of these squads. I want to talk about how our injuries have come at some of the most, you know, unopportune times. Not having the Malik Monk out there, even losing to Kevin Huerter, who I would be lying if I said that guy was playing his best basketball this season, especially towards the end. But in a time where you need depth coming off of the bench and people who are able to go get their own shot, not afraid to pull up from behind the arc or do what they got to do to secure some points from the free throw line, it is what it is, man. But before we get to any of that, I want to shout out a few of the folks that I met at this past game, man. Had a great time. When I say all, you know, what I'm about to say, just know, let me put it in perspective, right? We've had games in certain instances in this 10-pack where we had a Friday game and doubled right back for a Sunday. But there's always something going on, right? You got a family of five. My kids are all involved in sports activities as well. Top of that with the fact that we're a Latin family, man. So, you know, there's a fucking family party every other weekend. Somebody's birthday, somebody's something, right? This was the first time this season, and that we had to get it done. We had to make sure that by hook or by crook, we got a time where we were going to go out there and spend the weekend. And it wouldn't be me, you know, going out having my one little Drake Denogonizer fucking souvenir beer and calling it a night, you know what I mean, to get us all home and drive back. So with that being said, had a good time with this game, man. And when I say I had a good time, maybe the wifey thought I had too good of a time, but hey, it is what it is, right? Knowing this was going to be an opportunity to take advantage, knowing we just, you know, stayed so close to the damn arena that we could really literally throw a fucking basketball 2-3 times and be where we need to be, I took it upon myself to say, hey, man, we're going to go all out. When I mean we, I mean me, when it came to getting in there. First and foremost, you know I came with a little bit of Douce, for those who don't know, you know what I mean, Jay-Z's cognac. I was sipping on a little bit of that before we left the spot. Didn't really go in because you figure, you know what I mean, once you get into the spot, if you have to continuously drink, it's going to get costly. But I said, hey, fuck it, we're going to go in and have a good time. Got in. For the first time there, I didn't just go grab my little souvenir beer. I was like, hey, man, I was already sipping on a little bit of brown liquor. Let me go check out what's going on, right? Walk up to this little stand that's directly next to where we usually get our things from. And I wish I would have got bro's name, but just to paint a picture for those of y'all who are hip-hop fans, if you're not, you could Google it. It's pretty funny. You look like, you know, I mean, my guy looked like Max B, man. So the way for those of y'all who are hip-hop fans to know what I'm talking about. Walk up, you know, it's just him and a young lady. They look like they're having a good time already, you know what I mean, just working, making the best of it. I walk up, and I'm just checking the scene, you know, seeing what they have there, what they offer and everything. And bro's like, what's up, man? What can I get you? I was like, you know, just checking it out, right? And then we just start bullshitting. He's like, yeah. And I look at the signs, right? Branson Cognac, for those who don't know, it's part of the Sire Spirits. It's, you know, partnered up with 50 Cent. I'm a big, huge hip-hop head, big, huge hip-hop advocate. So anytime I see something like that, if there's something I could support, you know, I'm going to do it. I don't know who the fuck owns Crown Royal. I don't know, you know, whatever, you know, vodka drink. I wasn't going to go to the light liquor. I was already off the brand. So I'm like, let me check the Branson out. He's like, all right, man, what you want with it? I was like, bro, it really don't matter. I said, just put a little something in there so the wife, you don't think it's all liquor. He's like, I got you. So, you know, I'm like, yeah, let me make a, you know, pour a little heavy. Let me get a double. You know what I mean? He's like, all right. And then he's like, I got you, man. So, you know, leave me a little tip. You know, I'll make sure, you know, it's a double and then something. And then I'm like, all right, you know, I ain't mad. He's like, I can show you better than I can tell you. I'm like, all right, we're going to see how this goes, right? I'm not going to lie. Bruh poured that shit like my sister be pouring them when she knows that she don't want nobody to leave the crib. Like, I took that drink, and he, I don't know what the fuck he put in. It was a little bit of pineapple juice on top of something else. Whatever he did, bro, you know what I mean? It was a perfect little concoction. I wish I would have got bro's name, but that just set the tone, right? So I take that over to, you know, meet back up with the fam and the kids. They're sitting there. They got a little something to snack on, so... With that being said, they're sitting down. We all pretty stagnant for a moment. I'm like, all right, let me, you know, do my thing. Whoop, whoop, whoop. There that goes. Pineapple drink done for. Not only did that, you know, get me back to where I was with the Douce that I was drinking earlier, but it just set the tone. Now I'm like, all right, cool. Pull the little okie doke, right? Tell the wifey, are you sure you don't want nothing? You know what I mean? Let's go. Let me go get you a little something. So we go back up to the little other stand that we usually go to. I'm like, yeah, let me get a souvenir beer too. Bang, bang. That's done. So now... Say all that to say this. Go grab our things. We go up to our seats. We've been sitting in the same spot for 10 of the 11 games that we went to, right? At this point, you know, this is the ninth game of our package. This was Friday. The Kings hosted the Phoenix Suns. Both teams playing for positioning. You know, I'm looking at Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, these guys have been playing together for some time now. You know, the injuries had riddled them for a minute. They were definitely not absolved from that either. But with the scenarios that we were faced in, we know that, you know, during this matchup, this actually could have been a matchup of a possible playing scenario had we both ended in that 7th and 8th seed, right? So I'm looking at it like, damn, this might be a rematch. We always have 5 seats. My daughter had... saved up some money and got her and her boyfriend some seats for Valentine's Day, right? I believe is what it was. I don't know. They'd be finding a reason for everything. Anybody who has a daughter out there or sons and they're in relationships and shit, you know what it is. this is our 5 month, 4 day, and third time we said hello to each other on the phone. I'm like, all right, anniversary, you know? Okay, whatever. It is what it is. They're down there doing their thing. So we had popped off one of our seats, and then I don't even remember looking to the right and seeing who the fuck had even purchased it. I usually like to, like, get a gauge. Did we sell it to a fucking Suns fan, somebody from the opposing team? I had no opportunity to do that. And the reason why I had no opportunity to do that is kudos to the people who are around me, man. I'm going to clap it up already. First, when we got there, you know what I mean, the seat that was directly to the left of us, I don't know, revisionist history. Plus, I told you all the things that I was sipping on, right? But I do remember getting there, and I don't think the gentleman who sat to the left of me in the seat that's usually open, there's another guy who sits there from time to time. You know, I was, a little backstory, I think it was maybe game 7 of our package. I was sitting next to bro and whatever. Not the best version of myself. I was kind of beginning to ask. When he came back the next time, it was the Easter game. Kind of just dapped it up with him, you know what I mean? Gave him a little handshake. I was like, hey, man. Wasn't the best version of myself last time, you know what I mean? It was sitting heavy on me. I pulled the J. Cole shit, you know what I mean? I was like, you know, my bad. Say all that to say this. Get to the seats, and there's four guys, you know, sitting in front of us, and I could just tell motherfuckers is having a good time already, right? Shout out to Sonny, Kevin, David, and Jay. I'm going to clap it up for y'all right now, man. Full sign that we was going to be able to get along is, you know, as soon as the game starts, they're in the same fucking, like, seat positioning that I am, right? Like, the seats are the seats. You've ever been to a sporting event, you know what it is. You're not no fucking lounger. But when you are an actual fucking sports fan, you're at the edge of that shit, linked up, you know what I mean? Looking like if the coach should say that you need to fucking check into the game, you're going to have the opportunity to, right? So I remember before, you know, I'm just being observant of all these things, and I'm like, cool. You know, it had nothing to do with the fact that, you know, that was younger with energy and shit like that. You know what I mean? Not young, like younger than me, but I mean, in regards to what is usually around, you know, you never know what you're going to deal with. Sometimes people bring young kids, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then they're on a different type of time, right? So I'm just looking, and I kind of nudge my wife, and I'm like, oh, man, we're going to be cool, right? And I think I even made a point to let them know right away. I was like, man, I could just tell. Like, everybody was excited. As soon as, you know, the lights go out, they start announcing the team. You could just see, right, like, who's going to have a good time with this game. These guys already had set the tone, man. Like, the convo was just flowing back and forth, just some straight-up dope-ass individuals, bro. And it got, you know, wasn't ended there, man. I had a guy directly to the left of me who took that seat. I guess the usual character who has that seat had decided to sell it for this game. You know, they were pretty sought after this Phoenix Suns matchup. So I get it. Made a business decision, did what he did. Then to the left of me, the homie Mike, man. I'm going to say the homie Mike. Everybody, bro, I really consider, like, you know, cool-ass individuals. But me and Mike were having, you know, heavy convo, just about a bunch of different shit. My guy had just moved up here. I hope I'm getting this right. Orange County, I believe, right? I'm not sure if he was just a Cleveland sports fan or if he was from Cleveland originally. But we just started talking about everything. And, man, again, Sonny, Kevin, David, Jay, and Mike, just dope-ass individuals. Made the entire experience hella cool, man. I made sure to mention, did a podcast. My wife was, like, nudging me the whole game. If I would have had a fucking penny for every time my wife nudged me, I would have already purchased every one of the gentlemen I just spoke to and my family tickets to the playing game. Just put it like that, all right? It was hilarious. I really had to tell her, I'm like, yo, what do I have to do? I'm trying to find the median between antisocial asshole and just overly fucking social, you know, happy guy. Like, what do you want from me, right? But it is what it is. All in all, watching the game, you know, the Kings, I believe we had an 18 to 20 point lead at some point. Like, we're just looking like, you know, we're ready to take care of business. And in true Kings fashion, we're just unable to put the nail in the coffin. Gets down to where, you know, we're not making the right decisions. Everybody around is just like, yo, eat some clock. You have a lead. The other team, you know, is playing with urgency. You guys may be a little gassed, right? I mean, it is what it is, but just take some time. Rather than hawk 3 points, you know, 3-pointers up all over the fucking place and, you know, make it to where the defense don't have to play defense, much less for 24 seconds of a shot clock. Now these guys are getting the ball, able to, you know, keep their energy and then exert it over on the offensive side of things. when you have our team running up and down like we're doing fucking sprints because you guys won't eat up the clock and just continue to move around and get a good shot off. So, true Kings fashion, find a way to lose this game in the final minute. My guy Mike to the left of me is like, bro, this reminds me of Cleveland sports. And I was like, yeah. Mentioned to him that I'm a Raider fan as well. You know, I was like, bro, it's fucking... I definitely didn't take the easy route, right? So, all that being said, that's Friday's game. I just had a, you know, had a good time, man. My wife was like, yo, we fucking haven't even looked our way in, you know, the whole game. And I'm like, baby, like, you know, I'm having a good time. Not to say that I don't have a good time, you know, other games as well. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is this was just one of those games where I was able to retro ruck it out. For those who are new listeners today, that, you know, my name is Ramon. I must have introduced myself as Ramon, but everybody around me, and you know, for many years now has called me Ruck, so it is what it is. I'm professional as fuck with y'all, it's Ruck. If this is your first time listening, welcome. If this is your last time listening, hey, the pleasure's been all yours. You know what I mean? I'm just fucking with you. Anyway. It's Friday's game, find a way to lose it. It's like, all right, it is what it is, right? Kings fan, Raiders fan, you know, just set the tone. At this point now, Saturday, the next day rolls around. Sports, as far as Saturday was concerned, UFC 300 was fucking amazing. I was, you know, out and about with the family. Didn't get a chance to catch all of it, but I'm sure I saw, you know, three of at least some of the better fights. From what I was seeing, everybody was telling me this was a stacked card, and it definitely lived up to the hype. I had a great time, though, out in SAC. Wanted to, you know, make sure that we were able to do the family thing as well. So Friday was kind of my day, right? I told you I was acting the fool with the Kings game. Saturday rolls around. We go to one of my favorite, you know, pizza spots. Shout out Frankie's Pizza out there in the Old Town SAC. Always a good time. If you guys are in the area, definitely recommend y'all going out and supporting Frankie and what they got going on over there. It's a dope-ass place. While we're sitting there towards the end of when we're finishing up our meal, you know, they're playing the prelims, the preliminary fights for the UFC. And this card was so stacked that the prelims had some of these fighters that you would be prone to not only seeing in the main card, but usually, you know, sometimes main event in them, right? So I'm just looking at the card and I'm like, okay. Now, let me rewind a little bit to Friday night. We get back to the room and I told you I have my little cognac over there. So I get into it a little bit, right? I'm sipping. We go to bed late. I'm kind of, you know, pushing the narrative like, man, we're on vacation, right? We can sleep in tomorrow. There's nothing really time, you know, nothing that's concerning our time as far as we got to make a deadline or nothing, right? The games are Friday, Sunday. So it was like, there's nothing wrong with sleeping in. Plus, I'm of the mindset that the more time that we just chilling, relaxing, and lounging means the less time we out paying fucking for five people to eat a meal all the goddamn time. You feel me? So, hey, that's just my thoughts, right?
Unprofessional as fuck podcast.
It is what it is, man. The whole fucking trip, bro, was dope. But this is a sports show, so let me get back to the sports. We go out to a movie. We're supposed to see the movie at 3:15. Mind you, you know, as a man, you try to do things incognito as far as, you know, setting the tone. I'm like, man, if we can make the 3:15 show, if I keep them up late on a Friday, wake them up semi-early on the Saturday, go to the spot, get our food, you know what I mean? Get everybody nice and full. Get over to the movie at 3:15. Shit's going to be over at 5. I'll be able to get back to the room, get solidified, you know what I mean? Excuse me. Get situated, and put on the fights. But true fashion, you know what I mean? Went a little overboard on the Friday, backfired on me. Now everybody's moving sluggish on Saturday. We don't make the 3:15 movie. We actually catch the 6 o'clock, right? Not only did that backfire, but I was really looking forward to checking out the Civil War movie. Really had tickets for it here in town on Thursday, but the wife was like, hey, can we reschedule? I'm like, no harm, no foul. I ain't tripping. But this Saturday now, we don't make the 3:15. We make the 6 o'clock. At this point, the shit backfired on me. The Frankie's Pizza, you know what I mean, knocked me the fuck out. I'm sitting in my seat, relaxing, lounge. She keeps nudging me again. I'm like, fuck, are we at the Kings game? What the fuck is going on, right? Guess I was, you know, sleeping part of that as well. If you could sleep through the gunfire and shit that's on in the Civil War movie, I mean, maybe you needed it. I'm like, hey, babe, you know, I'm going to catch my second wind later. Anyway, get back to the room just in time. Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway, UFC 300 for the BMF title. Soon as I get to the room and kick on the stream, I believe they were maybe a minute and a half into the first round of a 5-round fight for the BMF title. When I say one of the greatest fights that I've seen from two people who I respect in the sport very much so, man, Justin Gaethje, there's no way around it. He's a dog. Whether he is on the winning or losing side of a fight, he's going to give you a show and give you your money's worth. Max Holloway, I got to echo the same sentiments to him as well. I don't know. I would be lying to y'all if I said that, you know, I'm the huge fucking UFC aficionado, but you see certain people and they build equity with you. You're like, okay, well, if these gentlemen are fighting, I'm going to make sure that I pay for that card. If it's a must-see or much less, make sure I put myself in position to go and watch these guys do what they do. Perfect timing. Get in, catch the BMF fight. Like I said, Gaethje Holloway. This card, from what I was hearing from all the announcers, was just living up to all the hype, and it certainly did from the three fights that I was able to watch. This fight culminates after 5 rounds of just, you know, it appeared like you could tell Holloway had the better of this guy throughout the fight. But when you were, you know, for lack of better terms, giving somebody your all, as far as, you know, Max was unloading on him, and at the same time, Gaethje, you know, he's never going to cower, he's never going to quit. He's getting caught, his nose looks like it's broke, he's firing back. They get him to the fucking corner, you know, after, you know, rounds, and he's speaking to his team. They're like, hey, man, you know, you're doing this right, and we need more of that. You're not winning on the cards. I always respect when the fighter's corner just gives it to him straight. At this point, you know what I mean, you've done enough or haven't done enough to the point to where you cannot depend on a decision. If you want to win this fight, you're going to have to find a way to knock this guy out, submit him, or find some way for this fight to be ended. That being said, you got Justin Gaethje and Max Holloway. I'm going to continue to say it. These two were two dogs in this sport. And five just immaculate rounds of just, you know, people unloading, man. Just the type of fight that you want to see, right? I mean, selfish as fuck for the fans who don't have to be in there enduring these type of things, but it's like what you would want to see if you go to an event, whether you're there live or whether you're paying in the comfort of your home or wherever you may be. Fifth round, felt like 10. I'm talking about maybe like the last 15 to 10 seconds. Gaethje had kind of, you know, made a few wailing attempts to try to do what he had to do. He's looking for a home run shot. Somehow ends up kind of on the ground. Holloway allows him to get back up and walks into the middle of the octagon, points down to the floor like, stand here. Pretty much like, you know, Holloway had everything to lose in this situation. To unload with a person like Gaethje who could catch you with one after you've done all that you've had to do throughout 4 9/10 of the fifth round. It was just a testament to both of these guys. From what Holloway was saying post-fight, Gaethje had everything to lose and nothing to gain by allowing, you know, him and Max to get in this fight in general. So this is somebody who was like, hey, man, you know, the least I could do. Whether you look at it that way or whether you look at it like just two guys at the top of, you know, the respect level, as far as two guys who demand respect and, you know, have that equity with the fan base and the lovers of this sport. Points to the center of the octagon. He's like, come here. These guys continue to unload. When I say it's like rock'em sock'em fucking robots, but just unloading, bro. And it could have been anybody. Anyone could have got caught in these final 10 seconds. When I say in the final fucking seconds, the final second, sorry, take the S off, not plural. Max Holloway catches him with just the perfect fucking shot. Before the bell rings, his Gaethje's bell was ultimately rung, and he, as many of these shots that he had taken throughout this fight, this one just landed right on the button. My guy, it looked like, you know, the old school computers when you shut off the gateway and made that sound, you know, what, you know the sound. I ain't got to do it. I don't got it. So I'm going to leave it as it is. But shut down my guy's computer, right? Falls down to the mat. Holloway, you know, got to have all that adrenaline in you. The guy just sets off on, you know, runs all over the octagon, jumps up on top. Gaethje, it took him some time to get back, you know, get his faculties back about him. But again, much respect to the guy. Stands in the middle of that ring, you know, not to cower off. You know, one thing about this sport is regardless of what happens at the end of the fight, the referee who was, you know, reffing that fight is going to have both the gentleman's hands in his you know, in his hand, he's going to raise one and one's going to be there. But both of those dudes, if physically able, are going to stand there, you know, and listen to the announcement. Bruce Buffer announces in new BMF champion, right? And the first thing Holloway does is just give props over to Gaethje, and deservingly so. These guys put on a hell of a fight. Shout out to Dana White and UFC. UFC 300. Like I said, I wasn't able to catch all of them, but the next fight, the co-main event, definitely did not disappoint either. Zhang, fuck, I wish, you know, Weili Zhang. I wish I could pronounce all the names. And Yan. I'm going to say Yan for the fact that I don't want to butcher this young lady's name either. First time ever in UFC history, two Chinese fighters contended, you know, in a matchup for a championship title. Zhang Weili, she had been dominant as far as, you know, that equity I speak of. Anytime I've ever seen her in a fight, she has definitely brought it. You could tell this this woman is going to come in and do what she has to do and put on a hell of a show as well. Yan, I wasn't too familiar with. But both of these ladies have had not only, you know, well, I already had respect for Weili, but Yan has not only earned mine, but exceeded my expectations as well. Meant a lot. You could see a lot of people, a lot of Chinese fans in the crowd, you know, just expressing what it meant to them. It was definitely a great show. I had the Prize Picks going on, right? So, you know, everybody's like, man, don't be mentioning motherfuckers' names unless they sponsor you, blah, 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 right? Excuse me. May not have a partnership deal with Prize Picks, but when I say that they sponsored Friday and Saturday of our trip, they most definitely did. So one more time for me, you know what I mean? And Prize Picks, shout outs to y'all. So had a Prize Picks going on. They give you one. You know, there's always one one fight or one square you could pick, right? It was like, I think, 0.5 significant strikes for Alex Pereira, who was in the main event for the title fight. I will get to that later. Picked him and a few different things. I'm trying to remember it all right now. I picked that the Zhang Weili and Yan fight was going to go over 19.75 minutes. So in a championship fight, there's five-minute rounds. My thought process behind that is if this is the first time two, you know, Chinese fighters, Chinese women fighters are going to meet for a title, I figured that they were going to put on a show. And even if they, you know, somehow just the storylines around sports, if you watch it enough, I just figured, okay, that one's going to go. Was definitely worried, and I'll explain to you later why. What else was it? Bo Nickel. I don't know shit about Bo Nickel, but I looked at the fight, and it said something amongst the lines of if he would have, I think if his fight would either go over 4 minutes or if it was 4.5 fucking significant strikes, something stupid. Something that just looked like obvious, pick the more, right? So I picked more for that. I picked more for 19.75 rounds in the Zhang and Yan fight. Fuck, what else was it? Okay, the Alex Pereira to have more than 0.5 significant strikes. So that's a no-brainer, right? And then there was one fucking more. It's escaping me for the moment, but if I remember, I'll bring it up. All I know is that was the only shit I was worried about, right? It was the Bo Nickel, something else. It all was going well. I'm worried about this fight, right? Because I know the Pereira is going to get more than fucking whatever it was. And the Pereira fight had to go 4.75 minutes, right? So whatever it may be. I don't know, fuck. Excuse the hell out of me. I think I had to go two rounds in the Pereira fight. Neither here nor there. Fucking rambling. Anyway, back to Yan and Weili's fight. First fucking round, right? All I need is for this thing to make it to the fucking fifth round. To solidify. I think if I get to maybe 10 or 25 seconds left in the fourth, I'm good. But let me get to the fifth just to make sure, you know, everything's solidified. At that point, I would get three of my four, and I'm guaranteed at least a little bit of a win. If I get to the fucking 4 of 4, then that's definitely just going to make my day. Already had hit something for the Friday night games while I was sitting, you know, around all the dudes. I was telling them, you know, I was speaking with Mike about it. Everything hit on my Prize Picks. So I was like, cool. You know, dinner's taken care of. Long story short, first fucking round, Weili gets down to the ground with Yan. She's got her in some choke, man. I don't know if it's a rear naked, whatever it may be, right? But she got the lady in a choke. I'm talking about the seconds are coming off of the fucking clock. I don't know if it was 15 or 25 seconds, but Yan somehow, some way, survives, or did she, right? Like, come to the end of the round, the horn is sounded, and the referee separates these two ladies, and you could just see that Yan looked like she was out. She didn't tap. When the referee grabbed her arm to see if there was any resistance or if it felt limp, it did not fall limp. But at the fucking very moment that that horn was sounded and these two fighters were removing themselves from each other, it even looked like Wei Li made a point to push her off to show that she was flimsy. The young lady looked like she was out to me. But what she was not out of was she wasn't out of her wits, because as soon as that round splits, if she lays there and the referee gets any inclination that she's not able to continue, there it is right there. It's a wrap. Somehow she gets up. Somehow she gets from the position to where she looked like she was night-night. Steph Curry, three-pointer. You know what? Forget. Remove that from my conversation. Got to see these guys on Tuesdays. Anyway. Wei Li pushes her off. She looks like she's limp. Somehow, some way, Yan gets back up to her feet, makes it over to her side. And it's crazy because I'm watching the fight. And somebody in the corner is like, yo, I can wake her up. You want me to wake her up? Everybody in the corner is like, well, fucking no-brainer, right? So I thought this motherfucker put smelling salts, like, in her nose. I thought he gave her, like, a key shot of fucking wake your game up, right? Come to find out, what the announcers let us know shortly after was there was no smelling salts involved. He did something along the lines of put what they said was ice in at a certain point, like the bridge of her nose or some shit, right, that was going to wake her up. Yeah, you can call it what you want. It is what it is. I needed the fight to get to the fifth round to be A-okay, so I was like, yo, yeah, wake her up, right? And not only did that happen, but there was different instances in the fight where it looked like it could have, you know, got to the point to where it wasn't going to make it there, but somehow, some way, we make it to the fifth round, and I'm feeling good. Because I'm like, yo, they're hyping this guy in the, you know, anyway, let me just complete speaking about this. I swear I'm not usually this fucking rambling around. I'm usually, you know, take a lot of notes and have everything structured and solidified, but I got back over here, and I'm like, I ain't taking no notes. I haven't unpacked my bags yet. There's too much to unpack in sports. So all this takes place. Wei Li ends up winning by decision. Gives props over to Yan. These two ladies look like, you know, they deserve a rematch. I would love to see him fight again. Wei Li retains her title. Successful defense. Now we get to the main event. The main event, I do know Pereira. I've seen him fight plenty of times. I guess I haven't paid too close enough of attention, but this motherfucker appears to be the real fucking deal. He goes up against a guy who, don't call him, I think it's Jeremal Hill. And when I'm watching the background and the build up, right, and it's main event time, they start showing, you know, both these guys' path to how they got to where they are that day. I guess Hill was just extremely dominant, knocking fools out left and right, and then unfortunately suffered some type of Achilles tear or something wrong with the Achilles tendon. And obviously that's not something that you just roll over the next day and you're okay with. You can't put, you know, ice on the bridge of the nose, quote unquote, and bounce back from that. That's something that's going to take damn near a full year when we talk about, you know, basketball players dealing with it. So, I mean, look at Aaron Rodgers. Same shit that happened to him, right, on the field with the Jets first game of the season. We didn't see him until fucking next year, right? So that happens. Definitely is going to slow down the locomotive that was Hill, that he appeared to be. It looked like he was running through people, you know, kicking asses and forgetting to take names at some point. But the Achilles heel needed time to heal, and it did. And he found himself in the octagon with Alex Pereira, who definitely made sure that I was going to learn about him. So I needed that fight, I believe, to go into the second round, and he finished him early and often. It was fucking hilarious because it gets to a point in the fight, right? I can't remember who was actually reffing. I think it may have been Herb Dean. I would expect it to be Herb Dean with how big these guys were, but there's a spot where there's a low blow kick, right? He'll catches Pereira. Like maybe it's a graze. I don't know what it is. But, you know, he looks like he's going to step in and give him some time. Pereira kind of just gives him the push off, right? Like, hey, kind of the nudge that my wife was giving me all Friday at the fucking Kings game, right? So nudges Herb Dean. He just moves out the way, right? And then immediately after, it was like Pereira got in. And usually the filling out process with two people who have that kind of knockout ability is going to take a little bit of time before everybody downloads the data and realizes how they want to go about it. But the fact that Pereira did that push off, it seemed like he knew that he was honing in or had seen some type of opening that he wanted to exploit without maybe the separation happening, this guy able to go to the corner letting him know what kind of tells, you know, he's given to the other fighter. And immediately after, he nudges Herb Dean back like, nah, we're going to continue fighting. Bam. Catches Hill. And when I say that this guy's eyes rolled into the back of his head, it was crazy, bro. Whatever it was, right? Like, we were watching this fight on Saturday night. He knocked his eyes back to maybe Tuesday morning. Hill goes down. It was clear cut that this fight was over. Pereira did what he had to do to make sure that fight was stopped. At that point, you know, Hill gets up, and it's one of the moments where he's, like, talking to the ref. He's like, yo, was I really done? And the ref's like, you know, give him that look like, yeah, bro, you know, it was over with. So, although UFC 300, from what I was able to see, was a great fucking event, those three fights that I saw were definitely, great fights, great outcomes. Pereira did not allow it to get to where I needed it to get from my, you know, Prize Picks to hit all 4 of 4. It is what it is. I'll settle with the little bit that I got and the show that I was able to watch. And all in all, man, UFC 300, fucking amazing. So shout out to them and what they did. We're going to get right back to basketball. Now back to NBA action with these conferences the way that they were. I know the West was just highly contested throughout. The East, I'm not going to say, was too far off. We know that the Boston Celtics had solidified their spot. These guys had, I think, locked in the one seed pretty early. Over 60 wins this year. Kudos to them and what they were able to do. Definitely on a warpath. Trying to get revenge for a couple years back where they lose to the Warriors, right? When I tell you that the Kings, man, we had our fate in our hands and we've let it slip out and you know, take us to a position where at one point, I believe, you know, we were up as high as the 5th seed, 6th seed. Now, knocked all the way down to the 9th seed. And the wrong thing about the 9th seed is, you know, you have to win this game to continue. If you end in that 7 or 8 seed and you play in that 7 and 8 seed, playing position, you know, that playing game, even should you lose, you have an opportunity to rebuttal, you know, get your rebuttal against whoever wins that 9 and 10 game. Today, you know, as it sits, after we lose to fucking Bambi Durant and the Phoenix Suns, and I call this guy Bambi, you know, there's a lot of reasons why a lot of people don't have the utmost respect for Kevin Durant. One, you know, jumping ship from the OKC Thunder. Small market team, right? He had come over there when they switched from the Seattle Supersonics. Another small market team that actually drafted the young man. Definitely talented on the court. You can't take anything away from him there. But that type of killer mentality, you don't do things like that. The guy goes over to the Warriors, gets a couple chips, right? But then he allows Draymond to run him out of town because he says bad words. Whatever, right? Now Bambi goes, teams up with Devin Booker and Bradley Beal. Two other young stars who can't seem to stay out of injury issues. So Bambi gets a win over us on fucking Friday. Now, somehow, some way, he got his team into the 6th seed position. They no longer have to contend in the playing tournament. It is what it is. We shall see how this pans out. I want to give you just the scope of what's going on in the East and West. As far as the playoff picture is concerned, it goes as follows. Start in the East because I really don't care and I don't have too much to say there. As far as plans are concerned for the Eastern Conference, in the 9th and 10th seed games, the Chicago Bulls will take on the Atlanta Hawks. That's crazy. Either one of these teams is even somewhere in contention, but it is what it is. 9 and 10, Bulls versus Hawks. The winner of that game will play the loser of the 7 and 8 game. The 7 and 8 game consists of the 76ers and the Miami Heat. Tough break for the 76ers with Embiid being out for as long as he was. The Heat, they got Jimmy Buckets, who turns into playoff Jimmy. Come around this time of the year, we shall see. The Hawks and the Bulls, I really don't imagine there's going to be too much noise that comes out of either of those sides. But regardless, the loser of the 7-8 plays the winner of the 9-10. And the winner of that game has the Boston Celtics licking their chops ready to take somebody out in 4. So whatever happens, however that may go, eventually the winner of this play-on scenario, who, you know, makes it out of that whatever, winner 9-10 seed versus loser 7-8 seed, has the Celtics winning. Now, whoever wins out of that 7-8 seed game, whether that be the 76ers or the Heat, have a New York Knicks team who is currently in that number two spot waiting for the winner there. In the 3-6 matchup, you got the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis went down. People were fearing that it was a MCL, ACL, something along them lines. Come to find out, everything is intact. He shall be back. Hopefully, you know, they don't rush him back to the point to where, you know, you re-aggravate something so soon. But it's going to be a high-speed game if you ask the Indiana Pacers what their take on this thing is, right? Because you got a high-flying team, Tyrese Halliburton, former Sacramento King, leading the way over there. Pascal Siakam, Obi Toppin, these guys like to get up and down the floor. It'll be interesting to see that matchup, 3-6 seed. That's the Milwaukee Bucks hosting four of the, should it go to seven games against the Indiana Pacers. 4-5 matchup, two young teams. A lot of people didn't know what to expect from Orlando Magic squad. Paolo Banchero, along with Jalen Suggs. Fuck, who else they got over there? The Wagner guys. They got a formidable squad, man, and they're in that fifth seed now, going to take on Donovan Mitchell and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Interesting to see how that pans out. Now over to the West. West, y'all. Son of a bitch, man. Get into this position, and nobody to blame but ourselves.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game. Another game.
Likewise, because this is win or go home. 9-10 matchup. The 9-seed Sacramento Kings will host the 10-seed Golden State Warriors, but it's not like these guys got to hop on the plane. They're hopping on the fucking bus and smashing right up the way to come into Golden 1 Center that needs to be out of control loud. We gotta make sure that we secure those tickets. Do not allow too many fucking Warriors fans in the building. Let's make sure that we do what we have to do, because the team is going to need all the help they can get. Highly motivated Warriors squad that wants to continue their legacy. Young and up-and-coming Sacramento team. Should be coached well on both ends. These guys know each other very well. Mike Brown spending a lot of time in that Warriors organization. A lot of love here, no love lost at the same damn time. Remember what happened last season. Sabonis came in looking like he was ready to dominate in the first couple games. Draymond then proceeds to hood stomp him on the chest, and it seemed like it knocked all the fucking tough out of him. But I'm going to say this. Sabonis has been the reason, one of the main reasons, if not the number one reason, why we are where we are this season, even in discussion as far as a playoff contender team. The string of, you know, double-doubles, that streak set history. Him, you know, single-handedly has set so many franchise records this season alone, you know, with this Kings organization. This guy has been a breath of fresh air. Nobody lost in that trade between us and Indiana. We get rid of Buddy Hield, who has since moved on to other pastures as well from Indiana. They get Tyrese Halliburton. We get a De'Aaron Fox who no longer has that looming over his head and played with a chip on his shoulder. Two guys who should have been all-stars and didn't get that love. Now going up against this quote-unquote dynasty, right? They did what they've done, and they're not ready to give it up yet. A lot of talk around the league that you're going to get this team blown up at some point in the very near future in regards to the Warriors. You know Steph's not going anywhere. Klay Thompson rumors about maybe him heading over to that Orlando team. Draymond Green has done enough to piss off a casual fucking Warriors fan into being ready to trade him for a bag of chips. So we shall see what happens. But if this is their last hurrah and they're coming in with that motivation on them, you know, in their hearts, going up against us as a 9-seed because we allow ourselves to slip there, slip through our fucking fingers, and now this is where we're at, playing game, win or fucking stay home. And this is it. I'm going to talk more in depth about this game as this continues. But now, the winner of that 9-10 game will play the loser, of the 7-8 matchup. Seven seed, New Orleans Pelicans, who have for some reason had our number this entire season, are going up against LeBron, AD, D'Angelo Russell, and the rest of those guys, who if you're just a fucking common basketball fan or someone who's watched enough, you got to kind of believe that the league is going to want to make sure that LeBron is happy, is a happy camper, and that they're able to, showcase games from La La Land as these playoffs continue. So let me just give you, before I go any further, let me just give you what I'm thinking, worst and fucking, best and worst case scenarios at the same damn time. Now hear me out. 9-10 seed game, we're hosting the Warriors. This takes place on Tuesday, 7 o'clock, 7:30. Don't call me one of those. You should be fucking sitting in front of your TV, inebriated by 6 o'clock anyway. Let's say we beat these Warriors, this Warriors team, and we continue. We will then travel either way to play whoever loses this 7th, 8th matchup. Whether that means we're going to fucking crypto.com, or as fucking soft as it sounds, the Smoothie whatever arena, right? Smoothie King Arena. Yeah. There's been nothing smooth about our matchups with the Pelicans this year. They've fucking been a thorn in our side this entire season. Not only that, but let's say that the Lakers somehow do lose. Now you're going up against a LeBron James and Los Angeles Lakers team who's been put on the bulletin board that they've lost every four of the matchups with us this season. Every time they've lost, somebody has made a point to talk about, Sabonis as the father of AD, because every time they've matched up throughout their careers, Sabonis has found a way to win the game and dominate the stat line. You talk about whether you fucking go up against the Pelicans or the Lakers, each team is going to feel like they have a great opportunity or a great chance to rewrite the history of this season. It's going to be a tough fucking road to make it to the 8th seed, who then will have the OKC Thunder waiting for them. Oh, fuck.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game. Another game.
This is what you guys do when you can't fucking put the nail in the coffin. You can't fucking secure a game when you have a 20 or 18 point lead. You don't know how to go to the fucking rim and get team star players in foul trouble throughout the fucking second half, especially in the fourth quarter, to get yourself to the free throw line. And then when you do get to the free throw line, you don't know that these points are supposed to fucking be free. And you shoot the worst percentage in the league from the free throw line. And, just add to the problems. But, hey, it is what it is. Fucking stressed out. Now, that's the playing scenario, right? Whoever does win that 7-8 matchup will be the 7th seed. And they will have the defending champion Denver Nuggets waiting for them. So it's just no easy fucking way. Regardless, if you're in that 7-10, seed right now, you may feel like you might have an upper hand in the matchup as it lays today. But regardless, you're going up against either a very young and motivated OKC with Chet Holmgren, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and I think they got a fucking pedophile sick motherfucker from Australia over there as well. You know what I mean? So they're still allowing him to play. I don't know why. Let's continue now. Or you go over to Denver and you play fucking Jokic, who looks like he don't give a fuck about basketball. You know what I mean? They're like, yo, you gonna go to the parade after you win? He's like, parade? No, I gotta go home. Oh, he was there and he was fucked up, all right? He looked like fucking wreck at the Friday game, so it is what it is. Nonetheless, it's gonna be no easy pickings for anybody in that 7-10 seed. The 4-5 matchup has been solidified for some time now. It's gonna be a hell of a fucking series to watch this one. Fourth seed, L.A. Clippers, will be hosting, should it go 7, four of those games against the Denver Nuggets team led by Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. Kyrie's always been able to do remarkable shit on the court. He's been injury riddled from time to time. There's been off the court issues that have also led to him taking some leaves of absence, to say the least. But with this matchup of these two players, along with the team, they have surrounding them, they look like they're ready to make a run. They're going up against this Clippers team. When you talk about, Paul George, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard. You got Russell Westbrook, who's playing motivated now, ball towards the end of this season, going into this playoffs. It's going to be a great series to watch. I cannot lie. I'm glad that regardless of what's happening, should the Kings advance further and throughout, that one of these teams is knocked out of the way in the first round. That's, I guess, the one silver lining of this playoff scenario. And now the 3-6 matchup, those fucking Suns. Those sons of bitches. Bambi, Bill, and Booker, the three-headed fucking cheerleader group. They're going to now have to go over to Minnesota, play Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, Ant-Man himself, Anthony Edwards, a.k.a. Plan B. And and we shall see what happens there, right? I mean, I think for my fucking, in my opinion, I'll just put it that way. I think the Suns find a way to get past this Timberwolves team. I mean, the Kings have kind of had the Timberwolves number this entire season, along with, you know, even certain matchups with the Nuggets. We've been finding ways to be the victors in some of those scenarios. The Thunder have kind of been an issue, along with the Clippers, who have blown us out certain games, including two that I've attended this year. I don't know. If I had to make a prediction right now, and I'm just being, you know, I'm going to be biased when it comes to the Kings. But let me just make predictions here and see how these all fall out. 9th and 10th matchup. If I had to bet money on it right now, well, fuck it, I can't do that. I'm a Kings fan. Kings are going to win this game. God damn. Did y'all believe it when I said it? Anyway. So, assuming that the Kings win, they will play the loser of the 7-8 seed. I do not see a scenario in which the Smoothie King Arena's New Orleans Pelicans are going to be able to beat this Lakers team in a one-off. I don't know what their series matchup has been as far as this season is concerned. I do know that I do not have much faith in the league allowing the Pelicans to just, you know, willy-nilly knock the fucking Lakers into a win-or-go-home scenario. So let's say that the Lakers win. Now they are going to be the 7th seed and go up against the Nuggets. Let's go now to what would happen. The Pelicans would host our Kings. And we know how that's gone so far this year. It'll be rough. It'll be rough, to say the least. So let's just say, best case scenario, we find a way to beat this Pelicans team. For the sake of the fact that, you know, I got Kings fans listening. I'm a Kings fan myself. So now we go up against the number one seed, Oklahoma City Thunder. We've shown, you know, in instances where we've been able to get these big leads, haven't been able to put the nail in the coffin. These guys are going to be hosting more of these games than we will. It'll be rough. So 1-8 matchup, let's say that ends up being the Kings against the Thunder. We'll get to that in a second. If I see this Lakers team up against the Nuggets, that's going to be crazy. One of these powerhouse squads are going to have to be removed instantly. And if that's the case, you know, I see the Nuggets advancing. I'm going to go through my best case with the biasness, and then I'm going to give you what I really think is going to happen. This 3-6 matchup, I don't care which way it goes. I do see an instance where they're going to want the Suns to continue on. But this Timberwolves team, man, they're not the third seed for no reason. 1, 2, 3, 4. I've kind of been solidified, the 4 and 5, you know, maybe back and forth a couple of times, but kind of seemed like these 1, 2, and 3 teams were going to be there for a reason because they've been playing good ball when they need to. I would, you know, have to put my money on the Suns just based off of, you know, when it gets down to this type of thing. You have 7 games, you know, who's going to get to the, you know, best, first of 4, who's going to be able to do that? Seeing each other every other night, I'd have to put my money on the Suns. 4 and 5 matchup, I'm not going to bet against this fucking Mavericks team. I've seen them do remarkable shit. They got 2 players who seem to just, you know, only get bigger when the lights get brighter. So that's how I would see it panning out. Now, I'm going to redo this real quick just with the honesty on it. Kings fans, please don't get mad at me. Man, I don't get, you know, I don't get sponsored from fucking Prize Picks throughout my weekend by, you know, bullshitting and being biased. So let's just call it what it is. I see us maybe not making it out of the fucking playing game. This Warriors team's highly motivated. I do see a scenario where we could beat them. We've shown that we can. But it's just the way that we backed into the situation that we have as far as this playoffs are concerned, it's looking bad. Should we do win that game? Because there is a chance. I don't want to say that there's no chance. Whoever comes out of that 7th and 8th seed, they're going to make sure that the Kings are not the team that advances from there. Bottom line, no bullshit. Let's just call it is what it is, right? So if that ends up being the Lakers who get into that scenario where they play whoever that team is just for that California matchup, it's going to be the case that they beat whoever is there, whether it be the Warriors or whether it be the Kings. They're going to go up against that. Well, they would now be the 8th seed. So that's why I think it would go this way, because the league does not want to see Denver or the Lakers knocked out that quickly. So what it's going to be, in my opinion, is somehow this Lakers team is going to end up in the 8th seed. They're going to go up against the Thunder, and it's going to be one of these instances where it's going to be like, oh, the old man was able to school the youngsters. Yeah, the Thunder are good, but they're going to be here for some time to come. This may be, you know, one of LeBron's last seasons. Somehow LeBron's going to beat that one seed. Whoever does end up in that 7th seed, who would be the Pelicans, they're going to lose to the Nuggets. The 4-5, I do still have the Mavericks coming out of that series. Could it go either way? Absolutely. But I just feel like there's dogs on that side of the court when it comes to Doncic and Irving. I see them advancing. 3-6 matchup, it could go either way. If I had to bet, I would say the Suns win that, right? So now I believe you would have the 1 and the 8. Whoever wins there, well, it depends on the seed, right, and where it would go. We'll get to that later on the upcoming show. Now, let's go over to the east side of things where I don't have any bias, so I'm just going to give you what I feel from the get-go. In the 9-10 matchup between the Bulls and the Hawks, I have not seen enough out of the Hawks this season for them to even be involved in the play-in. You got DeMar DeRozan on the Bulls squad. For that reason alone, I feel like they're going to be able to win that game. Now, if they do win that game, they will play the loser of the 7th and 8th seed game, which is playing scenario as well. Told y'all that was the 76ers and the Heat. I think the Heat are going to win. I think the Heat are going to end up in a series with the New York Knicks. And I think that would make the 76ers play the Bulls. I see the Bulls getting knocked out in that game, which would make the 76ers the 8th seed going up against Boston. And good night. All right. Boston's going to knock whoever they see in that first round out in dominant fashion. 3-6 matchup. You got Milwaukee versus the Pacers. I know that the Pacers have been, you know, the young Cinderella story this year. You got Damian Lillard in the playoffs. If Giannis is able to come back and be 75% of who Giannis is, along with Chris Middleton and the rest of their team. Bobby Portis, I think, has been playing fucking lights out lately. I got the Bucks winning that series, but it's not going to be as easy as people think. 4-5 matchup, Cleveland and Orlando. Orlando just don't have enough experience right now. Donovan Mitchell is going to do what he has to do. He also seems like he wants out of Cleveland. I don't think he ever really wanted to be there. No offense, Mike, my guy. I know you're a Cleveland sports fan. That could go either way, but I just feel like if you're going to pick one of those squads and one of those fan bases to host continuous throughout this playoffs, I see Cleveland coming out of that victorious. We'll get to the rest of that playoff picture as it, you know, emerges and when we get there. But with basketball heating up right now, the playoffs becoming, you know, a real thing. It's right around the corner. Tuesday, we got playing games. Exciting time for the NBA. If you're a Kings fan, as I am, and you just spent the weekend watching the squad play, you've seen what we can do up against a great team like, what was it? Just the other day, we were playing the fucking Thunder. We had a huge lead over them. Let that game slip through our hands. We had a 20 or 18 point lead over the Suns. Let them find a way to come back in it. Then you go play a team like Portland, who shouldn't even fucking be playing in the NBA at this point, as their team is constructed right now. You blow them out, but I mean, even in that game, couldn't get rebounds in the fucking beginning of the game as well. So it's insane to see, man. I'm hoping for the best. I'm also reserving the right to to call this squad out should things not go our way. Mike Brown, I think that you've definitely been a savior for our squad, but I think there's a next level for you to go as well. This team has got to put a onus on defense. This team has got to find out that you could be shooting great percentages from the three-point line in the first and second quarter, but that's not a practice that is going to lend itself to being successful through a full 48-minute game. You got to find a way to attack the rim. You got to find a way to put pressure on these referees to make calls in our favor, for one, and you've got to make teams play defense and exert some energy on that side of the ball for two. All in all, we've seen a lot of things that have been reason for, you know, cheering this year as a Kings fan. We've also seen moments that have made us want to pull our hair out. It all comes down to Tuesday. We host this Warriors team, Golden One Center. Today was a celebration of the sixth man. With that being said, they were calling us the sixth man as the fans. We know that we have a Malik Monk who has got to be the front runner for sixth man of the year. On the sideline, not able to contribute, you know, in game, but still out there as a mentor for some of these guys. Another coach and quarterback, per se, on the sideline to let people know what he sees and what he would exploit. We've got young talent. We've got some people, you know, in certain positions that haven't seen much play time lately, i.e. a JaVale McGee, who I think is going to have to be inserted into this roster more often come playoff time. There are ways for us to get victories, man. There are ways for us to do what we have to do and be successful, advance and get into a seven-game series. But even then, we're going to have to tighten shit up. I was going to go into some of these other sports topics right now, but I don't want to half-ass it. I just wanted to give y'all what I've seen over this weekend and what I foresee happening in the near future. NBA, this is the time of the year we all wait for. UFC, they gave us two great fucking pay-per-views back-to-back from what Dana White's been talking. We got some big fights coming up in UFC 302 in June, I believe. And then I think in July 303, we're going to get another Conor McGregor fight, McGregor versus Chandler. Be on the lookout for that. Boxing, I've been telling you, got a lot of fights coming up. Shit, where are we at now? We're in April, right? I believe next weekend we got the Haney and Garcia fight right around the corner from the May fights, where she's Canelo getting the action. I believe that exhibition with the Paul brother, whichever fucking clown this is this time, and Mike Tyson is in June or July. Don't quote me. Fights are heating up. Baseball, if that's your thing, I'm going to get the brother Pete on the show, man. He's a baseball fan, knows more, you know, as far as that sport is concerned. Definitely, you know, back up and running over there as well. A lot of shit to talk about. We got the draft around the corner for the NFL. Definitely going to get more info, you know, and get more NFL situated and centered going forward. A lot of things going on, man. Exciting time in sports. Kings fans, let's do it, man. Let's rally together. Let's make sure we don't let no fucking Warriors fans in the building. Let's get a win on Tuesday and let's keep this ball rolling. That's all we can do, right? Till next time, man. Let's focus on what we got to do. Let's get business done. Let's get through another work week. Get to the weekend and get back to our sports. Before I get out of here, another special shout out to the guys, man, the folks from the game, man, Sonny, Kevin, David, Jay, and Mike. Really hope y'all had an opportunity to tap in. If you did, you know what I mean, follow on the socials. For those of y'all who are not following the Instagram page, Unprofessional AFWRUK on IG. Again, that is Unprofessional AFWRUK, spelt out, all one word, like. Tune in, tap in. Until next time, man. Thank y'all, as always, for being a part of the show. Like we always say, man. Till next time, find what makes you happy and return the favor. I'm going to holler at y'all later. Go on.
Unprofessional as Fuck Podcast.
Playoffs? I talk about? Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game. Another game.